the trappings that go along with Christmas, that it just sometimes it's hard to just enjoy it for what it is. Sometimes we feel at a loss as to how do we bring things back to where it should be. And I think probably the best place to go is just back to the Scriptures and go back to where we see the stories and see the individuals and how they responded at that time. And to get a perspective and to get a purpose for all of what Christmas is about. If you have your Bibles and want to turn to Luke chapters 1 and 2 is where we'll be this morning. This will be the backdrop of the various voices that we'll be looking at this morning. Before we get into that, I want to begin our time with prayer and then look at how these voices can help conform our voices this Christmas season. Father, as I come to you in prayer, I thank you so much for the privilege of being able to share your word. I thank you, too, that individuals have taken time out of their schedule to be here this morning. Father, this is a special time for us. This is a time when we remember the special gift that you have given to us. It reminds us of how that you continually give gifts to us. And Father, I pray that you will help me to be your instrument. So Father, there are some great things that I would like to share concerning your word this morning. And I just want to be your vessel. And I want to be a source of encouragement. Lord, it's sometimes at this time of year is not the most exciting time for some individuals. There might be some distractions, some discouragement, some difficulties. And so, Father, I pray you'll help us to be equipped. For many of us are going to be doing Christmas with some relatives in the next couple of days, or maybe even today. But you may have called us to minister in a special way. Father, I just ask that the words that come from my mouth today, that from my voice, might be things that might help them to be able to have a voice of Christmas to minister in a special way, even this Christmas season. Pray, Lord, that you might be glorified in all that's said and done, and that indeed you might be the one to give us strength, and when we're done, we can say, this is of God. And I ask that you might be the one, again, to provide your word in a way to challenge each one of us, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Probably one of the most significant individuals in the Christmas story is that young lady by the name of Mary. Mary, who was chosen to be the wife of a man by the name of Joseph. Sometimes we assume that Joseph was about the same age as Mary, but my thoughts are maybe he was several years her senior. For Joseph, by the time Jesus is around, we do not see Joseph at all. So it's very possible that he passed on through natural causes or whatever the situation might be. But we do know for a fact that Mary would have been a young lady as God came upon her with a special assignment that she might have. And as I look at the purpose of Christmas, I see Mary is giving us some idea from just a few things that she has said in regard to the Christmas time. First of all, I want to look at some things that we sometimes put in regarding what the purpose of Christmas is. Because we have kind of our packaged idea, don't we? We have our idea of why there is a Christmas. And here's just a few of the things that I've jotted down. Maybe there's things that are in your mind. And when I say we, I'm not just talking about we. I'm talking about we the world. You know, this is a holiday that's celebrated not just by those of us in this building or other buildings of celebration today. The whole world celebrates this season, one way or the other, and recognizes some aspects of it. So there are some things that I see that, whether it's Hollywood or wherever it might be, there are some things that seem to be consistent in regard to what the purpose of Christmas is. Number one, it seems that Christmas has the purpose of family. Second of all, peace, love, and hope. Those things seem to be synonymous with Christmas, aren't they? When we think about anything that has to happen, when we pick up a video or something and place it within the television to be able to watch it, and it's one of those seasonal ones on Christmas, what is the theme? What would the themes be? They would be those things that center around some of these very things. That it should end in with hope. That Christmas just has to always have hope, right? That's the purpose of Christmas, is to provide for us hope. And when circumstances and situations don't go along that way, then something is wrong with Christmas. Sometimes we evaluate our whole year based upon what takes place at Christmas time. Sometimes we evaluate our lives based upon what takes place at this particular time, because there are certain purposes that are associated with this time of year that we have in our mind that should happen. If a miracle is to happen, when is it to happen? At Christmas time. We know that because we've seen it on TV, right? That's how we know that miracles should happen. It happens at Christmas time. When family issues are resolved, when's the best time for that to take place? In a dramatic fashion? At Christmas time. And we have these level expectations that they should be such way, and so we have our idea of what Christmas ought to be. Now, why are some reasons we have that idea? I think some of it's because, first of all, God did a wonderful thing at this time. Well, peace will be on earth. For Jesus Christ, God Himself, has come down so He could be amongst His people. That is a great event that has affected the whole world and will continue to affect the world. So it is an exceptional time of year. But let me look at what Mary's purpose regarding it, because she was kind of in the difficult situation. You know, one of the most exciting things that could happen for a woman in her era was for her to be with child and have an opportunity to bear a child, unless they weren't married. Then it became the greatest disgrace. So here's Mary, has been given this great announcement that you will be with child, that any of the Hebrew women would have been greatly excited about. Why? Because over the ages, it was promised that the Messiah would come through the seed of the woman, and that she would bear a child that would be the one who would possibly lead their people to salvation. So that would be in the back of the minds of each of the women as they look at prophecy and they think, would I be the one? And Mary, of course, she was in that line of David, so it would be very possible. So it should be something that would be very exciting for her. But the problem was, she and Joseph were not yet married. And the idea of having a child without the proper order was something that was going to be a major disgrace to her. And so when the angel came to her and said, this is what's going to happen, I don't know about you, but I could imagine all sorts of thoughts going through her mind. Like, you can't do this to me, God. Well, why are you putting me through this great disgrace? I mean, can't you do this later, after Joseph and I are married? You know, your timing is just really cramping things here. But, you know, we don't see any of that amongst Mary. Oh, she has a few questions. How can this be? I've never been involved with a man to be able to have a child. How can this happen? And he says that that God Himself will implant that baby within you. Wow. And as you look at, after the angels had all this communication with her, in Luke 1:38, you hear these statements. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. I am your maidservant. Whatever God wants to have happen, let Him have it happen. Here we see a purpose for Christmas, because I believe one of the purposes of Christmas is no different than any other area of our lives. You know, I believe God enjoys Christmas. I believe it's important to Him. Okay? But I don't think it's necessarily, I don't see anything in Scripture where God says Christmas is more important in His calendar than any other day. You know what? I don't know if you ever thought about that, but never do I see in the Scripture says, honor Christmas above all other days. God says that we need to honor Him daily, right? We need to understand how that God is working in people's lives in miracles, not just on Christmas. But God is in the business of restitution, not just on Christmas. God is not just concerned about us being generous on Christmas. God isn't concerned about us just being faithful and doing things for Him or changing our hearts or our attitudes just on Christmas. God's desire that we might be a complete package day in, day out, not just one season of the year. And I think that He has a great love for the day when He sent His Son down to become man upon this earth. I think it's very special to him, but you know, I think there are a lot of other special days to him as well. Think of the day when his son was baptized, and he looked down and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And the great joy that came from the father's lips at that particular time. Or the time when he was transfigured on the mountain and shown before the disciples, and the glory was shown. There are many events that are important in the life of our God. And I think it's important for us to realize that. And for us not to pigeonhole God and say, "God, if you're going to do something great, it's got to be around Christmas time. Christmas has to be the time." We ought not to have Christmas to be a special time in the sense that God has to honor our particular requests. Our purpose ought to be to have the spirit of Christmas every day of the year, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying take Christmas and lower it down. I'm saying take the emotion and the excitement and the things that go along with Christmas and have it a part of our lives on a regular basis. I think of some of the great stories that they have. For example, when the wars are going on and back in World War II and there were two armies that were in the middle of fighting and they stopped on Christmas Day and then resumed the next. That isn't the way God works miracles. When God changes hearts, He changes them for life, not for a day. And so I look at that and I think that's wonderful how that happened, but the magic isn't in the day. The magic, if you don't mind that word, or the awesomeness, or the power, or the miracle, is in the person. It's in God. And it's in His purpose and how He works. And this is what He says, that our purpose ought to be: the reason of the season is no different than any other season. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." When we look at the purpose of Christmas, what is my function regarding it? My function ought to be to glorify Him. This is His opportunity to use me in a special way. And folks, this is an exciting time when we can, because there's no other time that I can think of that you can talk more about Jesus than at this particular time. There's no other time when we can give more emphasis upon who He is and why He came. There are missionaries around the world that value this day, because the people in these lands where they cannot proselyte or share the gospel, they can, on an academic basis, explain our culture. And we can say, in our culture, around this time of the year, we celebrate a special happening. And that happening is that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born in a stable, and that He grew up and He died on the cross that your sins might be forgiven. You know, they have this wonderful way of just giving the full story of the gospel with this Christmas story, that they might be glorifying God through it. And our voice can have the emphasis of, instead of distracting away from Jesus during this time, of bringing the attention to Jesus and desiring to glorify Him. That our purpose would be centered around what would bring glory to God during this particular season. This is one of the most impacting seasons, folks, that we have. And I am just burdened that we use it in a way that encourages others to see who is the true reason for the season. And it's Jesus Christ. And we can, through our perspective, in the same way that Mary did, she was willing, "God, use me in whatever way." There are some things that maybe you're going to be called upon, and maybe already have been called upon during this Christmas season. It happens, doesn't it? You get to get together with family, and you get to do different things. And it's an opportunity for you to either say, "I want this Christmas to please me," or, "I am going to, as a believer, do all I can to glorify God. That despite what is going on around me, I want my voice to reflect the fact that I believe this time is a time to glorify God and to bring the attention to Him." And I think that can be done without ruining our family opportunities. I think it can be done without ruining the concept of love that's around Christmas. I think it can be done without taking the fun out of Christmas. I think it can be done without alleviating the hope. I think it can be done because that's the way God wants our lives to be designed, that we might be willing to say the same thing that Mary did. Behold, your servant, Lord, have done to me whatever you desire. Use me in whatever fashion. Second voice that we have is what I call the voice of perspective. Zacharias kind of introduced Elizabeth last week. Elizabeth doesn't have much of a role in the Scriptures, but Elizabeth does say a few things that are somewhat significant. She talks about a relationship with God and with Mary that I think is very significant. When I think of perspective, though, I think of what are some things that we look at in regard to Christmas. Why is it that Christmas can be good for some people and bad for others? Why is it some Christmases can be good and some Christmases can be bad? Do you ever do that? Do you ever kind of refer to the Christmas back in 1994 as being blank or blank? I mean, we sometimes evaluate things that way, don't we? What the question is, why is that? Why is it that we sometimes assess things a certain way? There's different perspectives that take place. Look at the different ones that I've just jotted on here. Number one, the influencers are this. Number one would be like expectations. We have certain expectations, don't we? We really want Christmas to go well. This is the time of year, I don't know about you, I can get real intense around this time of year. Because I have certain expectations how I want things to go. I mean, I want to do something that we really need. We had a little project we were working on this week, and I wanted it to be really nice for those individuals that were participating in it. So I was getting all worked up about it, because my level of expectation was I wanted this to work well. And guess what? You'll never guess what got in my way. Come on, you can give it a try. What got in my way? My computer, right! It is the computer, thy favorite foe, decided to give me all sorts of trouble on these things that I wanted to work on. My expectation was, at least on Christmas time, can't you work, right? And give me these things and print out things the way I want them. My level of expectation is a certain way, and I found myself getting all anxious about different things. And what's ironic about this, folks, and maybe you catch yourself doing it, and you can laugh at yourself too, is that your whole goal is to show your love for someone else. And maybe to please God and do something nice. And then through the whole time you're grumbling and it's kind of like, what's wrong with this picture? You know, what have I done wrong? Why is it that I'm so intent? Because my level of expectation is a certain way and it's not falling together the way I want it to be. And not only happens with computers, it happens with people too. We have levels of expectation. Ask any kid who has certain expectations of what's going to be underneath that tree. You know? It's either going to be, oh, wow, this is greater. Oh, okay. What is it? You know, there's certain levels of expectation. And that can happen whether they're children or even as adults. That we say, well, this should be special. And so is level expectations. Another thing is memories. Memories affect us. We think about what went well. Oh, I can remember memories in our house. They were such and such way, but now they're not that way. And we get all melancholy because we can't bring back the way things were when we were a kid or whatever like that. Another thing might be circumstances. Things are just really tough this Christmas. I think I shared a year ago about one of the most interesting Christmases that I was involved with. It was several years ago, and I'll share again because I think it's significant because here was a family in the worst circumstances I've ever seen. The mother was in the hospital in a coma from an overdose, and the father was in jail. And the kids were wondering, you know, what about Christmas? You know, and I just had to, you know, I was just a young associate pastor, you know, just kind of there, not knowing what to do, and just going and pray with them, and, you know, pray God, you know, you it's out of our hands. The doctor said there's nothing else we could do. For the mother, you know, it was out of their hands. All we can do is count on God. So that's all I did. Pray, God, this is your opportunity, you know, to And then I left. I was out in Indiana, came back here to Iowa for my Christmas, and we went back, and come to find out, she came out of the coma, and things worked out to where he got things straightened out regarding jail, and he was out, and they all, God just had a way of transferring. But the circumstances were not good. Circumstances were terrible. And it would be very easy to say, this is a, what kind of Christmas? Huh? Bad Christmas. Bad, bad Christmas. Because the circumstances are a certain way. But the question is, what makes Christmas? Remember the purpose? Jesus Christ came. He's already come, right? He's given us the gift. He gives us the hope of eternal life. We have everything that was given to us and everything we could anticipate on that first Christmas. There's nothing left back other than the fact that someday He's coming for us. We have everything. So there's no reason each time we celebrate to be a good Christmas, because if our focus is upon the right individual, it will always be a good Christmas. Because our focus is upon Jesus Christ. Because God was good to us in giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And just the influences of the world. How the world gives us an idea of how we should celebrate Christmas. They tell us how we should. And they give us all sorts of different ideas on how we should celebrate Christmas. Some of them are very good ideas, and they make it exciting and such. But my encouragement is, are we getting to the point sometimes where that is just shoving the real message right out the door? Let's look at a godly perspective. Romans 8, 28 and 29. It says this, all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose, to be conformed to the image of His Son. Looking back at what Elizabeth said, when Mary came upon her, and Elizabeth was about 6 months along, and Mary was just had conceived, and Jesus was within her, and when they met, it says that John the Baptist jumped inside the womb of Elizabeth. And Elizabeth prophesied, and here's one of the things she said, "But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And I think it gives me kind of a perspective of the heart of Elizabeth. That Elizabeth, you know, had some pretty amazing things happen to her. To be able to have a child at her age, and how God had miraculously worked this. And her question is, why? Why has God graced me in such a way? You know, I've got to admit, I don't see that happening a lot this time of the year. I don't have a lot of people just saying, why is God just so good to me? Why is that? He's so good. I don't deserve anything. It just, oh, no, you know. And how can we just have that kind of an attitude? No, I don't need anything. God's good. So we see more and more, though, the desire for more and wanting more. And so that the influences, the perspective is that Christmas ought to be something where I get, where I gain. And even in the gaining of giving, I want to give so others will like what I give. And if they don't like what I give, what's my attitude? Yeah. Why don't you like what I gave you? Well, why did you give it to them? For them, right? So you shouldn't be upset. Right? That's a brain teaser, I know. It doesn't make sense. But the idea is that we think about how that we do things for God and have that type of an attitude towards God, a godly perspective. So whatever the circumstances might be, we go back to Romans 8, 28 and 29, and we look at the situations. All things work together for good. And whatever that circumstance might be, it's going to work for good, and the answer to that good is it might conform us to the image of His Son. So when we think about Jesus Christ coming as that baby, He's not talking about conforming us to the image of the baby, right? We don't want to be like the baby in the cradle that's dependent upon Mary. When He's talking about being conformed to the image of His Son, He's talking about that attitudes and characteristics that Jesus Christ displayed while He was on earth and as He taught and as He lived. And those things which we find described in the Scripture as the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith. So that what happens then, as we have the right perspective in life, it doesn't matter what the circumstances might be. If we're not feeling well on Christmas, or finances aren't right on Christmas, or there's a relationship rift on Christmas, or whatever it might be, we might be able to see those situations to realize that is for the good and might conform me to the image of Christ. And I can see how that those things that'll be like Christ, the fruit of the Spirit that I just talked about, is the love, joy, peace. So if the love, joy, peace is not based upon how things are going, it's not based upon how the day is, not based upon how people are treating me, it's based on the fact that I am desiring to be conformed to Jesus Christ and to be like Him. So each time I think of the Christmas story, I think He came to the earth. If you want to look at it this way, He came to the earth to be like me. Does that make sense? Okay, came from God to be like me, to be a human, so that He could grow up and die so I can be like Him. Okay? It's a simple little formula. He came to earth to be like me so He could die so that I could become like Him. And so that when I look at the trials, whether it's at Christmas time or wherever it might be, that God has such a desire for us to be like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if these issues can come in to work for good, to mold us, to make us like Christ would be. And here we have Elizabeth just really recognizing, why are you doing this? Why do I get this great privilege? And can we have the same kind of attitude? Why are you doing this, Lord? Why do I get such a great privilege? We often look at why me when the bad things come. Elizabeth was the first one to say, why me, when the good things came, and when she had the great honor. The third voice we'll look at, Jesus, after He was born, 8 days, He went into the temple, and that's where He would have received, their sacrifice was made on His behalf, and in there was an elderly lady. And she had been at the temple faithfully from the time she was a widow, being honoring God and being faithful to Him. And her name was Anna. And Anna was one who would have been at least in the temple for 60 years. 50 or 60 years, or up to 80 years, depending upon how that is translated regarding her situation. Because she was, says that I think, 86 or 84 years, that she was a widow of 84 years. So she could have been that she was 84 years old, been a widow, because she only married for 7 years from the time when she was a young lady. So somewhere along the line, she'd been at least 50 to 60, possibly 80 years in the temple, faithfully serving God and waiting for something special to happen. And it says that when we talk about the voice of what I call the voice of praise, and when Anna, in Luke 2:36 through 38, I'm just going to read the whole passage for us on that. Luke 2:36. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here's a few things about Anna. Number one, she had great anticipation. She stuck with God for all these years, wondering what He was going to do. Second of all, she was faithful in service. She had a heart desire to serve God. When her husband died, she didn't give up. She didn't look at life as being a difficult time. She decided she was going to devote her life to God. Thirdly, devotion. Fourthly, thanksgiving. And finally, proclamation. When she came across Jesus Christ, when she experienced Jesus Christ at that 8-day mark, she couldn't help but go around and tell everybody about what she'd seen. That she was going to tell everyone about this special child that God had brought into the earth. And basically, that message was to those who looked for redemption in Israel. Looking for redemption in Israel. Do you know there are people who are looking for hope in the United States? There are people who are looking for something to believe in, something that will give them hope. And folks, we are. If we have claimed the name of Jesus Christ and we know Jesus as our personal Savior, we have an inside of what this whole Christmas story is all about. That we know that it's not just some manger scene. We know that it isn't just Jesus along with all the snowmen and the reindeer and the Santa Claus, and it's just an other thing. That Jesus is why we even celebrate this, because He came to earth. That God was willing to take on the form of a human being through that baby, to be born, and as a child grow up, and then to, as the Bible prophesied, to provide peace on earth. Now the type of peace that He offers is that peace with God. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, it says that He made it possible to pay the penalty of sins for all those who were willing to accept it. So what we have here is, for example, if we were to look at this binder here as being the record of all, I'll just use me as an example, all my sins. This is volume 1 of 2000, okay? A record of all my sins, and let's say they're all kind of composted right here. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it says that He brought peace because when He died for the sins of the world. And that when God's wrath was exercised on that day, not Christmas Day, but on the day which we call Good Friday, I guess, on that day, when Jesus took the sins of the world upon Him, it says that I have an opportunity to place my sins upon Him, my individual sins, to say, I do not want to die for my own sins. I do not want to pay the penalty of my own sins, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So that I could take this volume of sins, and if this were the cross right here, I can take and place them upon Him, and He pays them in full. Now that is the story of redemption. He has purchased my debt. And for those who have been looking for that, and I don't know about you, I went many Christmases not having a clue. Many Christmases not even understanding what it was all about. I thought it was all about me getting gifts. It was all about me. And it wasn't until I was about 14 years old that I was able to celebrate my first Christmas of realizing who Christ was and what the reason for the season was. And here we have Anna, in a prophetic way, talking about the One who has come to provide redemption for Israel. And here we have us, if you want to, in a historical way, to be able to share with others that when we have that Christmas story, that we can share that Jesus has come to redeem and take away the sins of individuals. And any individual can accept that wonderful gift. And again, one of the other things that goes along with it, at this time of the year is one of the time of the years that people understand a gift. They understand that you get a gift not for doing something. Sometimes we confuse it when we think, oh, someone gave me a gift, so I've got to give them back a gift, and we're basically just trading stuff. But the whole concept of a gift is to give, not expecting, you know, the gift back. That's called grace. But so we can still use that illustration of how God has given us eternal life. And all you have to do is accept it. You put a lot of Christmas presents underneath the tree. Put some names on it or whatever, but if the people never come up and take them, they don't get them. Right? And the same thing with Jesus Christ. If you don't take the gift, you don't get the gift. And that's what God is encouraging us in, and I think in the voice of Anna, who proclaimed with great joy that there is redemption, that there is hope, and there's excitement in knowing who Jesus Christ is. I want to just close with this challenge. God has given us a voice this Christmas. What will this voice be? Will it be a voice where we are God-centered, or we think about God and talk about God, or are we going to be people-centered? This Christmas, will we have a similar voice of those all centered in the whole Christmas pageant of humility? Or will it be centered on pride? We can get very prideful, can't we, at Christmas time? We can prove how good a people we are by what we give, by what we do. And we can become very prideful in that. Thirdly, are we excited about using our voice for praise? Or are we going to get caught up in grumbling and saying, well, this isn't what I expected. It shouldn't have been this way or that way. What kind of Christmas voice are we going to have? One that glorifies God, or one that draws attention away from Him? It's our opportunity. And my encouragement to you, maybe you might be here and you were like me. When you celebrated Christmas, you didn't really have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You didn't think about it being a true birthday party for Jesus Christ. Or you don't really know who He is. That's where I was. If that's where you are, can I encourage you? The steps are simple. Take that sin that separates you from God, place it upon Jesus Christ, and believe. The Bible says that if we believe, we shall receive eternal life and be considered the children of God. So I encourage you to do that and make that decision today. Father, as we close our time, this is an exciting time of the year. We'll be together with family and we'll be rejoicing in the great blessings and the things that You have provided. And Lord, how we want our children to be excited about all the various things regarding Christmas. But Father, help us not fail. Help us not to fail in the area of exalting You and bringing glory to You. That we might truly be able to reinforce that our goal is to glorify You. That our interpretation of circumstances ought to see how You can change and make us more like Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we might be willing to open our mouths and give praise to You rather than praise in other areas. And we thank You again for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We invite you to stand as we sing that.